Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at Luke chapter 15, where Jesus tells these stories of things and people that were lost and become found, and stories of great joy at the end of the day. And we know them very well. They're very familiar stories to us. We've heard them, we've listened to them, we've talked about them since Sunday school days. The parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Three parables, all back-to-back, one after the other. Now, it could be that Jesus is simply reinforcing his point. He tells us stories about things that are lost and found, and the joy that comes when it is found. So he tells us once, he tells us again, and then he tells us again, so that it really begins to sink in, the joy that there is over something that once was lost, but now is found. And there is that aspect to it. But would Jesus simply repeat himself three times? Three stories, three similar and yet different stories, or is he teaching us different things? We've looked at the son who turns his back on his home, everything that has been important to him, everything that has contributed to who and what he is. He turns his back on his home and his father, and yet he was welcomed back with open arms. The Father who waits. A picture of our Heavenly Father who graciously and patiently waits to welcome us back home again, to carry us close to his heart. We've looked at that sheep, the sheep which goes astray. And does the shepherd simply wait back at the fold with the rest of the flock? Does he simply count the other 99 in and then sit back and wait and hope that that one will find its way back home eventually? No, Jesus says, the shepherd goes after the one. The son who searches. The father who waits, the son who goes out and actively searches. And then there is this story. Not of a son or of a sheep, but something inanimate, a coin. A coin which was lost. How many of you have ever, for some reason, put your hand down the side of a seat or the back of the settee and found a coin? Nobody. I'm the only one that does that, is it? The settees in the youth room here are a minefield. You never know what you're... Well, some of it's not very pleasant that you find down the back. But the caretakers are always finding stuff stuffed in around the settee, things that just fall out of your pockets, and they're there. I don't know whether this coin fell out of her pocket. I don't know how she managed to lose a valuable coin, 10 of them, and one of them goes missing. But whatever happens, one-tenth of this woman's savings, one-tenth of her treasure, goes missing, and it's a big thing. Now, the coin can't come to its senses in the way the lost son did. The coin can't do anything about it. It can't decide to go back to its owner and apologize for making a mess and getting lost. The coin is just lost. Neither can the lost coin sit where it is and bleat as a lost sheep might bleat to attract attention to itself. The coin's lifeless. Can do nothing about it. It's just lost. And it's there until someone reveals it. Someone finds it. And Jesus tells this story about the woman searching carefully, and houses in that time would have had very few windows in. The floor would have been made of earth, and so it would have been quite hard to see. So there's this idea of someone searching, sweeping carefully every corner, searching with a lamp to reveal what's going on, looking carefully. The Father who waits, the Son who searches, the Holy Spirit who reveals. Of course, in some senses, lost people, lost mankind is not like the silver coin, inanimate and lifeless. It's not, we still have life, we still have heartbeats, we still breathe. We're not totally inanimate, but in one way, spiritually, from the point of view of the Spirit, lost people are lifeless. That's what Paul says right at the beginning of that chapter 2 of Ephesians, which Paul read for us. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. Fairly blunt. Paul has a habit of being fairly blunt with us because we need that at times to be brought up short. He's not saying you were a wee bit lost. He's not saying you were a wee bit lifeless. Paul is saying, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. Lifeless. Full stop. And lifeless people cannot find themselves. Lifeless people can't come to their own senses and decide, you know what, I've got it wrong. I've wandered away from God all these years. It's about time I wandered back again. Neither will lifeless people sit in a corner trapped and bleat, hoping that somehow they might attract attention. If we're lifeless, we can't do that. The coin is a symbol of those who in some way see what God requires of them but can do nothing about it. Who in some way know that they are lost from God but are helpless to do anything about it. And only the work of the Holy Spirit can rescue us from being lost or spiritually dead. Verse 4 of that chapter 2 of Ephesians, Paul simply says this. He's already said, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But now, verse 4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, and listen to this bit, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. Even when we were dead, God comes along by his Holy Spirit and makes us alive in Jesus Christ so that we can begin to respond. So that we realize the Son is searching for us to bring us back to our waiting Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is at work. All down through the history of the church, this has been part of what we call revival. Whether we're talking way back or whether we're talking in recent history, revival always begins when the Holy Spirit works in people's lives to make them realize not only are they sinful people, lost people, but they need the Savior to bring them home. And that's where revival has come from. The work of the Holy Spirit in people's hearts, reminding them of that painful truth that they are spiritually dead, but they can be found and made alive in Christ and brought back home to their Heavenly Father who waits patiently for them. And it's not to do with their own ability. Paul goes on to say, just in case you think it's up to you, just in case you think you can work out, you can reason your way into the kingdom, you can think your way back to your Heavenly Father, verse 8 of chapter 2 of Ephesians says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It's not to do with us. We're lost. We're lifeless. This not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God is at work. This Holy Spirit shines just as that woman shone her lamp on those dark corners of her room as she looked for the coin. The Holy Spirit shines on our lives, on our hearts, so that we find not only are we lost, but we find that the Savior is searching for us to bring us back home. And that's what this little parable emphasizes. The lost coin depends not on its own abilities. It doesn't have any abilities. It depends on being found. And that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. The parable of the lost sheep reminds us that Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and save what was lost. The parable of the lost coin here, the Holy Spirit convicts people of their lostness, tells people that they are dead in their sins. But thank God, doesn't leave us there. Well, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the grace of God in Jesus Christ and brings us back home to the Father who is waiting. To those who repent of their sin and acknowledge their need of the Savior. Why would Jesus teach these three stories one after another? Possibly just to remind us again and again of the joy in heaven over one lost person, over one dead person coming alive in Jesus Christ and back to his Father. But also to remind us that it is all about God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about how good you are, how often you come to church, how much you pay in, all those other things that are wonderful and good in themselves, but not enough. It's about this God who, in his amazing love for us, sends his Son into the world to seek and to save what was lost. Pours out his Holy Spirit so that we might see in the light of his Holy Spirit our own situation and our need of the Savior. And then who brings us to our eternal home where our Heavenly Father waits with arms outstretched to enfold us in his enduring love. It is all about God. The Father who waits, the Son who searches, the Holy Spirit who reveals. God is at work. If it was left to us, would we ever find our way home? We'd be like a compass that one day points north this way and the next day points that way because we depend on our feelings. We depend on what everyone else is doing, and we are so easily guided all over the place. God in his grace gives us the Holy Spirit, who not only lights up the dark corners of our lives, but points us towards Jesus all the time and brings us back home. Is God at work in your life? Do you know that Jesus is seeking, is reaching out for you? Do you know that that's why Jesus came into this world? So that you might not be lost anymore, but rather be found? So that you might not be dead in your transgressions and sin, but made alive in Christ? Do you know that? Is the Holy Spirit gradually opening your eyes so that you can see these things and know that because of Jesus, God waits to welcome you home? If God is at work in your life, don't sit back. If God is at work in your life, yield to him. Allow his Holy Spirit to work in you. Allow Jesus to lead you home. And to him be the praise and the glory.